following is a Furnished Brothers production. Introducing your hosts, Rob and Ryan. Please welcome to the Talking Buds Podcast.
What is up, everybody? We are back. Episode 5. Thank you very much for downloading. And Ryan, no shortage of things to talk about tonight.
Yeah, man. Well, first I want to say what's going on, everyone. And man, tonight, all I can say was, apart from the Leafs' effort, that was probably one of the most boring NHL hockey games I've watched this year. Like, that was just two teams that... Calgary dominated for most of the game, but until the third period, like, they had their chances, but it was just such a no intensity, no hitting, no nothing, just a very boring, slow hockey game, and the Leafs were so slow. Like, it looked like they were moving in slow motion sometimes, and they pushed back near the end, but it was a little too late.
It was tough. It was tough, that's for sure. Okay, so before we address the elephant in the room, Let's recap the last week since we last talked. Two big emotional wins over the Winnipeg Jets. The game last Wednesday in Winnipeg was what I thought their best game of the season. Followed by Saturday's come from behind win after the elephant in the room, Austin Matthews injury.
Yeah, well, Saturday, that game, both games really, like, I thought Tuesday was more of like a complete effort, and I thought Winnipeg didn't play as well. And then Saturday, I thought the Leafs were okay in the first period. I thought they got dominated in the second, and then Matthews went down early second. Truba, I thought Truba was all over him all night. Like, it wasn't even that play. I thought all night Truba made it. He was on Matthews. That was his assignment, and he made a point to always finish his check on him, and then he got him with a pretty solid hit in front of the net.
Right, and we'll touch on Matthews and what happened there in just a little bit. So two big emotional wins. They come into tonight's game. They're playing a Calgary team that's, you know, is going to be fired up after losing three in a row and getting absolutely dummied by the Pittsburgh Penguins last week, 9-1. So you knew the Flames were going to come in here hot and ready to play, and that's exactly what happened. What you said earlier, they dominated the Leafs, outshot them 12-4 in the first period, 21-12 in the second. I thought the pace sort of picked up in the third period and it started to become more of a run-and-gun hockey game, but Flames score two goals within 55 seconds, and you're just kind of sitting there going, it's going to be one of those nights. It actually reminded me a lot of the game against St. Louis a couple weeks ago. They just weren't really in it from the start.
Calgary dominated the game. Like, they dominated the game. It's just, I thought through the first two periods, like, both teams, there was just no intensity and no score. So you're sitting there watching being like, wow, this is like, we're getting into the games now where there's going to be some games like this, some boring 0-0 hockey games going into the third period. But I thought the Leafs just looked like they were just one step behind all night skating. They just kind of threw the puck away in their own end. Just, it was not an impressive effort whatsoever. I don't want to overreact or anything because they just came off two huge wins, one big comeback against Winnipeg, but tonight was just, they just did not have it tonight.
Yeah, they didn't. From, like I said earlier, from the get-go, they just weren't engaged. And Kadri gets the goal, 5-on-3. Beautiful setup from Mitch Marner. And then there was the weird play at the end where Zach Hyman thought he scored and even sellied.
Yeah, the whole team sellied, man. It was a little awkward. I can't remember seeing anything like that happening recently. Yeah. Like, whoa, like the light went on, like everyone jumped into the pile. Levo was in there in his face congratulating him. Riley came over, and then the Flames were going down the ice, and then the ref blew the whistle. That was just a weird play.
If there is a positive to be taken away from this, it's Kadri got another goal, so he's kind of got the monkey off his back here in the last week. And I thought Freddie Anderson was by far the best Maple Leaf on the ice tonight.
Yeah, I think the past three games over the last week have been Frederik Andersen proving that he's ready to go, and October's coming to an end, and his numbers in this October compared to the last two are not even close. He's been fantastic. Like, again, tonight, he only allowed two goals. The third one was an empty netter, so I've been really impressed with Frederik Andersen. He looks super mobile. He made a couple saves going across the crease early in the first. He made about three of them.
Well, he looks like that when he's playing well, I find. When he's playing well and he's locked in, the way he moves is really like he's really fluid and he's not tense and he's in the right position and he makes the saves look easy. That's when you know his body language is a real tell about how he's feeling and how he's going to play.
Yeah, and even in Winnipeg, like, that Saturday game, they had a couple breakaways. Like, they caught the Leafs. The Leafs were in the O zone, and the D kind of fumbled a puck, and there was a Winnipeg Jet ready to go on a breakaway all through that game. And he stopped Ehlers on one, and then Scheifele scored on that one. But I think Frederik Andersen's been extremely impressive the last three games.
I agree. And to what you said earlier, we're not gonna overreact and panic. They didn't play well. I mean, we're not even a full week removed from what I thought was their best game of the season last week in Winnipeg. It happens. You're gonna lay an egg sometimes, and I think that's just what happened tonight.
Yeah, like exactly. We're watching the game tonight, and we could sit here and analyze the line combinations. Oh, maybe you should have put Kapanen with Kadri and kept Marner on the first line, or whatever, but you just want to give. We understand as Leaf fans that they're gonna have games like this, and let's not super overreact. And hopefully, if they play the next couple of games like this, then we'll be a little concerned. But let's just not get too carried away after one night.
What's up, everybody? Thank you for downloading episode 5 of Talking Buds. Just want to take a sec here to let you know that we are on Instagram at Talking Buds Podcast, on Twitter at Talking Buds Pod. You can download the show on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and YouTube. Spread the word. Tell your friends. We really appreciate all the support we've been given. Thanks so much.
Now, let's get back to the Toronto Maple Leaf Podcast for all the buds. This is the Talking Buds Podcast.
The only thing mildly concerning about tonight is the fact that it is the first game after finding out that Austin Matthews is going to be out a minimum of 4 weeks with a shoulder injury. Ryan, I've literally been waiting all day to ask you this question. I need to know your answer. He missed 20 games last season with the same injury, just on his other shoulder. Is it time to consider Austin Matthews an injury-prone player?
Yeah, this is the question of the day. And now, being injured 3 times within last season and this season, and the way he's been injured, you look at all the hits, they're all awkward hits through the neutral zone or in front of the net, just hard contact. He doesn't really fall to the ground or anything, but it's just hard contact. And his shoulder just, I don't know what happens to his shoulder, but it seems to be not correct, because every time he gets hit like this, it's a shoulder injury, and it shouldn't be like that, because guys get hit around the league and they don't bust shoulders. But I don't want to call him an injury prone player yet, because I want to have optimism looking forward to this guy's career as a Maple Leaf. So I'm not ready to dub him that yet, but it's a very polarizing question right now, because
it's concerning.
You want to be so optimistic, because all the future years ahead, he needs to be in a Maple Leaf jersey to get the ultimate goal, the Shannon plan seen through. But if he comes back from this and then gets injured again, he's kind of in that territory of if he is injury prone.
It's definitely concerning. And you're right. You don't want to jump to conclusions. Like, you look at the Sidney Crosby example from a few years ago, where people were talking about him potentially retiring after his concussion issues. And he's come back and won 2 cups. So you don't want to jump to conclusions, but it is concerning that this is an injury that he's had before. Granted, it was on the other shoulder, but he seems to, like, he's had shoulder problems. He's had them dating back to his childhood. So I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's kind of at the point now when he's out there skating around. You're watching him now, and you're just going, like, for the rest of the season, every time he's out there, I'm going to be going, please don't get hurt. Please don't get hurt. Please don't get hurt. Please don't get hurt. Like, I am a little concerned about it, Ryan. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit concerned.
Yeah, it just sucks for him because, yeah, he was kind of scoreless through those last couple of games before that hit, but it just takes him out of the debate for all the awards, all the conversations, all the
comparisons. If you can't stay healthy, you can't be in consideration.
Yeah, like you wanna think of this guy as like a Hart Trophy candidate or someone of that MVP ilk, and now when you go down for games like this, then it just ruins those chances and it sucks. And I feel like the reason why Leaf fans aren't ready to dub him injury prone, the diehard Leaf fans, is because we don't want to admit it to ourselves because we want this guy to be the guy for the next couple of years, but he can't do that when he's on the IR.
No, and the last thing you want is to have a situation where, like, it multiple times a season, he's out missing games due to injury, which is what happened last year. And, like, we're not even a month into the season yet, and he's already on the shelf, and he's on the shelf for a long time. It's like I'm trying to be, and I am, maybe I'm just being overzealous Leaf fan here, but I'm trying to just stay calm and be like, okay, we're going to work through it. They have depth. They have, like, if I can be Captain Obvious for a second, the signing of John Tavares has never been more important. Like, could you imagine if they didn't sign Tavares? Par Lindholm is your number two centerman right now.
Yeah, and Freddie Gauthier is your number three center. And
Jesus.
Like, for this Matthews injury, like, I personally, I'm a guy who's a fan of, you know, he's going down. At least it's early in the season. They say a minimum 4 weeks, but I can see it being a lot longer than 4 weeks because it's early and you want to take precautions with him because of his shoulder history. But I'm excited to see what guys step up. It's guys like Kasperi Kapanen in the past who had an opportunity to step in when there were injuries.
Well, Nazem Kadri's look at how he's turned way up.
Yeah, exactly. And Kadri's going to have a lot more opportunity to put the puck in the net. He's got 3-3. I know tonight wasn't very good, but he's going to get more options. He's going to play with better wingers. So, you know what? Like, it's sad that he went down, but at the same time, let's see what we have. Because the bottom six has been a question throughout the season.
It's going to be interesting. I'm not sold on, I'm still not sold on Par Lindholm. Like I don't really know what he does. He goes out there and kind of floats around.
Yeah, I kind of like him on the, he's a fourth line player. He gives you no offense. It's just, same with Frederick Gauthier, no offense. And yeah, you can be a hard player. But when it comes down to it, if you're not chipping in offensively, it's going to be noticed after a while. But the question I'm wondering the most about this Matthews injury is it going to affect, but is it going to play a role in Matthews' upcoming contract negotiations?
I don't think he'll end up getting less money, or the Leafs are going to, like, lowball him or whatever. But you got to believe that in the negotiation, it only makes sense if you're Kyle Dubas to look at his representatives and go, well, he can't stay healthy. He's got to be able to, this is too, like, he's going to end up missing. If it's going to be a minimum of 4 weeks, you're saying longer potentially, he could end up missing just as many games as he missed last season. So he's missed 21 games in two seasons. That's a lot.
Yeah, and we don't know. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be the smartest guy in the room and know the conversations that go on between general manager and agent and the player. But you just wonder if it somehow plays a factor, because if you just look at it, if Matthews goes out this year, gets 50 goals, and he's in the MVP conversation, to me, that's a lot different than missing 20-plus games or whatever many games he's going to miss and still have a pretty good year. They'll do the pro-rated stats, so it will show how many goals he would have scored if he played all 82 games. But I wonder how it's going to affect it, because it's different. It's different than just being, you've been hurt. Like, we can't put this much into you if you're going to be hurt all the time.
Yeah, especially when you get hurt. Like, it's so early in the season and you're already hurt. It's just unfortunate, man. It just sucks. I'm so bummed out about it. Like he started the season just absolutely on fire. He's been my pick to become the next captain. He's the future. He's the franchise. He's Austin freaking Matthews. And I'm rattled, dude. Yeah, I'm so rattled.
At the end of the day, it sucks for us because we just want to see this guy do what he does. We want to see him get in that conversation as one of the best players in the league and put up huge numbers, because being a Maple Leaf fan for this long, you know, they've been around for a long time. They're a storied franchise, but they don't have a lot of like great statistical numbers from like individual players. Like Dougie got 127 points in 93, even though that'll never be eclipsed again. But it's just, you want to see this guy score 50 goals. Like, we haven't had that as a Maple Leaf fan.
Did you just pull that stat off the top of your head?
What?
Did you just pull that Gilmore stat off the top of your head?
Yeah, and I know for a fact that it's correct.
That's pretty damn impressive.
From some old school 93 VHSs. That's how I remember that.
That's a pretty damn impressive. I'm the biggest Dougie fan of all time. You know the number 93 is in every single one of my passwords.
Yeah, well, you just gave away your password, so that's.
No, I only gave away two numbers in it. Could be anything else.
Yeah, well, you narrowed it down for sure, but
that's true. All right. Okay. Anyways, I'm rattled. I'm upset. I was bummed to get the news today that it's going to be 4 weeks. I don't know. And okay. We have to ask it. Right. I have to ask it. I wanted to stay away from this topic tonight, but let's just touch on it really quickly. Do you think this Matthews injury adds any sort of sense of urgency to the Nylander negotiation? My opinion on that is no, it doesn't.
I think for management, it's no, but for fans, like, there's going to be an outcry if there's more games like tonight. If the scoring takes a hit, I think for sure there's going to be more of an outcry to get him back, but I don't think that affects the management of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, at the end of the day, your salary cap is your worst enemy, and you have to do whatever you can to protect your salary cap in this stage of the NHL. Like, it's a killer, and I don't care where your team's at. They're still in a good position, in my opinion. They're still going to make the playoffs. To me, they're still going to have a winning record out of Matthews being out, but you have to do what you can to protect your
salary cap.
Dubas is
not just going to pick up the phone and go, all right, we'll give you $8 million. You got to come back. Like, that's not happening.
Yeah, no, because Austin Matthews isn't gone. Like, he's gone for a certain amount of time. And if you trust the depth in your organization, you think you're good enough to win the Stanley Cup, then you should be able to, like, withstand a hit like this.
Yeah, I agree. Anyway, I don't know how much more we can stretch out this Matthews talk. And talking about it just depresses me. Quite honestly, I mean, they just had two of their biggest wins probably of the whole season back to back against Winnipeg. And I'm sitting here just absolutely dejected of the news about Matthews, and just having watched that garbage performance against the Calgary Flames just now. Oh, God.
Well, it's just a star player. Like, you just want to see your star player play hockey, because we haven't had too many star players in this city for a long time. Like, there was Mats and Phil was Phil, but he still put up big points. But other than that, like, they haven't really had anyone like this. And getting Tavares helps, but it just sucks seeing your franchise player, as we call him, on the sidelines and not be able to play.
Yeah, I just feel like there's this dark cloud over this episode of the podcast, because I get talking about something else and then I go, oh yeah, Matthews is out 4 weeks. Anyway. Look, I wanted to pose a question to you. I listened to a lot of talk radio today, and normally I stay away from listener phone calls for obvious reasons, but I listened to Jeff Blair take some calls today, and there was at least three or four guys calling in who pointed out the Leafs' lack of toughness. So there's this sort of like narrative that's developing. Obviously, well, not developing. It started last season in the Boston series when they got pushed around for 7 games. And so, like, where are you on that? Where are you on the lack of toughness, or the fact that, like, they're not big, they're small, they get pushed around?
Well, I think you saw it on Saturday night. Like, the Jets, the Wednesday game wasn't as physical, but I thought the Jets played hard and they showed that the Leafs could be pushed around, even though the Leafs and ultimately won that game. But I think that game proved it as well. Like as soon as the Jets started hitting them a little bit, like they have, I think Kadri and Hyman are the only guys who can kind of ruffle some feathers and kind of be that pain in the ass. But
Levo's got a little bit of pushback too.
Yeah, I saw Levo get in there a little bit, but other than that, like they're just all their star players are small, like John Tavares, like serious guy, but doesn't get involved physically. Marner's not going to get involved physically.
Also looks like he's 10 years old.
And this is why when you see Trouba's hit on Austin Matthews, there's no one on the Toronto Maple Leafs on their defense core that could make a hit like that in front of the net or would even attempt to make a hit like that in front of the net.
Yeah.
You're watching Jacob Trouba and you're like, this is the defenseman that this team needs. Just a physical, in-your-face, nasty guy who can play.
Yeah, if you're an opposing team, your game plan has got to be, especially if you're a big Western Conference team, because I find the West style is a lot, like there's like big teams in the West, whereas in the East with like Tampa and stuff, it's kind of smaller and more skilled. But if you're like a team like that, with the exception of Boston, Boston's style of play is always going to be rough. But if you're coming in here to play them, that's what I'd be saying. I'd be saying get the puck deep on their D, get in there, bang the forwards. They got small forwards. Be aggressive on the forecheck. Use your body. Be physical. That would be my game plan. And I know the thing with Matthews happened while the Leafs were in the offensive zone, but still, Trouba goes in there and hits him. It didn't look like a dirty hit at all. It looked like a good, clean body check. And people were just saying today, they don't have somebody who can go out and lay a hit like that, you know? And I honestly, like I said earlier, I don't put a lot of stock into listener phone calls, but I don't disagree with that take.
Yeah, no, and they're a small team. Like, you just look at them on paper, and I feel like it really starts with their defense. Like, their defense is really soft, and I think that's why Mike Babcock had such an attachment to Roman Polak, is because regardless of Roman Polak's skill, the guy would, if you're in front of the net, Roman Polak will take a stupid penalty just to protect his goalie. And in a way, yeah, it's a dumb penalty, but in a way, Babcock's like, this is the type of D-man I need on my core, because the guys they have right now are so soft.
Well, it also sends a message to the other team. We're not just going to let you stand in front of Freddie Anderson. If you're going to stand here, we're going to knock you out of the way.
Yeah, like they're top four. Morgan Rielly, not tough. Ron Hainsey,
not tough.
Crafty veteran, not tough. Zaitsev will play somewhat physical along the boards, but not tough in front of the net. And Gardner's not tough at all.
Yeah.
And Marty can barely make a pass or even skate around the ice.
Yeah.
But,
and Ozhiganov, solid on the back end, but not really much of it. Like, he doesn't have a physical playing style.
Yeah, like Hyman is hands down their most physical player when it comes to laying hits and going into the corners hard. And Kadri's got some nastiness to him, but Kadri's not laying a bunch of hits. Like that's why he had an attachment to guys like Leo Komarov, because they're kind of missing that factor right now, even though I know if Leo Komarov was here right now, we'd probably all hate him and want him to leave. But
yeah, I was just going to say, careful what you wish for, Ryan.
Yeah, but it's just the principle.
He'd take Matthews off the first power play to put Komarov out there.
Yeah, like, I don't think having Matt Martin, like, changes people getting injured. But, like, just an overall team. Like, there's some good skilled players in the NHL who are also, like, very physical players. And the Leafs just don't have a player like that. They just have a bunch of skilled players, but none of them really have that nastiness to them.
Anyway, I don't disagree with the take. Do you think it's something that they need to address?
Well, you can't, like, how can you really address it?
Before the trade deadline? And I hate being go out and get someone at the deadline guy. Like, that's just such a, like, an unrealistic thing to throw out there. But it's like, if you're Kyle Dubas and this is your windows this year, You're obviously looking for defensive help, but you're also looking for some size, like someone who can just go out there and have a bit of pushback.
Yeah, and like if you look at a guy who should be like that is, you look at Marlowe, the money he makes. Like, if you put a player at the money that he makes who kind of does what Marlowe does offensively, but also, or even a little bit less, but it's just more physical all the time, more intensity all the time. Like, they just have too many players who are just nice, chill, good bros, but they're not going to ruffle the feathers.
Marlowe's struggling. He's invisible out there.
Yeah, it's very perimeter. He's just all over the perimeter. He's always just waving his stick around the other team's D when they're backing up, making a pass in their own end. Like, I never see him forecheck. I never see him skating down the ice with the puck. Like, he's just kind of, maybe he still skates fast, but that's all well and good. If you're not really doing anything else, then it's pretty bad.
Right. Anything else you want to touch on before we have the announcer man tee us up for Bums and Beauties?
No, just basically the only real story. Like, yeah, they played two great games against the Jets, but just Austin Matthews going down just kind of squandered talking about that. And now it's all about how they're going to go forward without him, and how long is he going to take to get back, and is he injury prone? Who's going to step up? Like, there's just so many questions, and I hope they play a little bit better than they did tonight against Dallas, but Dallas, a high-powered offense too, and then they go play Pittsburgh again on Saturday. So,
yep, you took the words right out of my mouth. And then after that, they got the Vegas Golden Knights at home.
Yeah, like I hate how they've played like Dallas twice, but yet they haven't played like Tampa, Boston. They've played Montreal once. Like,
yeah, the schedule's weird this year. That's a good point.
Yeah, like,
the schedule's really weird
this
year.
I'm not a big let's talk about suspension guy or talk about schedule guy, but it's just kind of like, why are they playing the Stars again?
Yeah, I know.
And one more thing, what do you think about let's rate the Calgary Flame away jersey?
Oh, I thought it was like the one they wore tonight, the white
one? Yeah, the one they wore tonight. I'm not a fan of those jerseys.
You're not a fan? I'm kind of indifferent to them. I love their third unis that they have, the old school orange and red ones. Those are dope.
Yeah, like, the both Alberta teams kind of went in that, like, Edmonton went full old school direction. I think that's way better than their other uni. And then Calgary hasn't really, like, transferred yet. They'll wear it sometimes, but I don't know. I was watching their uni tonight, and just that hot red with the white just on the ice. It's just, I'm not a fan.
The
not
red
a fan
and blue
at all.
Is a great contrast, though.
Yeah. And just, there's something, and again, something about,
like, when the Leafs play them,
something about the Scotiabank Arena. Like, oh, it's just, it was so,
oh, it's
irrelevant.
A morgue in there again, like, tonight. It's a morgue in there again tonight. Like they figured, they picked it up in the third period with the go Leafs go chants and that sort of thing. But like, it's a morgue in there again tonight. It's just, it's dead quiet.
Yeah, it's so, like, it's so bright. And, like, I don't know. Like, you're just watching them play at other teams' barns, and it's just, there's something different about other teams' barns. Like, it's just something about the Scotiabank Arena. Like, it's so, the ice is so bright, and it's so dead, and they always just seem so flat in there. Like, they've been so good. I don't think they've lost a game on the road this year yet.
No, they haven't. Well, I said last week, my theory this year is they're going to be a better road team than home team.
Yeah, and it's already proving it. And I know some people are not big into home road splits, but if you're undefeated on the road so far, I think that's saying something.
Yeah, I agree. I totally. It amazes me the difference between Scotiabank Arena, the difference between a Raptor game and a Leaf game. It's like that place is rocking during a Raptor game, and during a Leaf game, it's a morgue in there. I attribute that to the crowd being less corporate, but I don't know, man. It's, yeah, I'm with you. I've ranted about it a few times on the podcast. That place sucks.
Yeah, it's just a culture. Like, the Raptors have built a culture like that, and ever since the day the ACC/Scotiabank Arena is open, there's just been a culture in there of just kind of sit in your seat, talk quietly to the person you're with about the game, and that's, like, be quiet. And I honestly, I feel like a hypocrite even talking about it, because when I go to the games, like, I'm not the rah-rah guy either, but you can't just stand up and be the only rah-rah guy.
You stick out like a sore thumb if you're a rah-rah guy.
Exactly. It's almost sad. Like, if you want to go to a game and just cheer and go crazy for your team and create an atmosphere, like, it's almost like looked down upon in that arena. And right. It's just, I have such an issue with it. I don't think it could be, like, undersold at all. Like, I just don't like it.
No, I'm 100% with you on that one. Mr. Announcer Man, I think it's about that time.
It's time to find out who's a bum and who's a beauty. Take it away, buds.
That's exactly what time it is. It's time for bums and beauties. And Ryan, I got something I got to get off my chest. Can I please go first?
Absolutely. Bums and beauties. Let's go.
My bum of the week. We're starting negative this time. My bum of the week belongs to none other than Downtown Connor Brown. This guy is nowhere. This guy floats up and down the ice. I don't know what he does. In the past, he's been like a Hyman-type first in on the forecheck, whatever. I thought he was like, oh, okay tonight. He was a little better. And I know all the Brown fans are going to say, well, he plays with Par Lindholm. But it's like, you see what happens when you get Nazem Kadri away from him and on a line with someone who actually has some skill in the offensive zone. Connor Brown couldn't put the puck in the ocean. He's not progressed at all this year. He's been one of the nice surprises in years past in the Babcock era, but he's just done. He's nowhere. He's nowhere.
Yeah, I have a theory on guys who were offensively skilled in junior, and given he did score 20 goals in his first year as a Leaf, and given that year he did play with Austin Matthews, so I understand kind of the argument that way, but I have a theory that if you take an offensive player and you put him on the third or fourth line long enough, they just turn into checkers, and I feel like they could just lose that
touch.
But
he doesn't even do that. Like, he doesn't even do that. Like, he's not in on the forecheck creating turnovers and chances. He just floats in the soft circle, not really doing much in the corners. He's up and he's down. He's up and he's down. He's in the neutral zone. He's on the ice. He's off the. I think he's nowhere. I think he really needs to step it up. He's taken a step back so far this year, in my opinion. Name me one game this year where you were like, wow, Connor Brown played really well.
No, and he's the type of guy who you would expect him to chip in with a goal. And I just have a problem with how much, like, he's had some chances. Like, tonight, he had a chance out front. The puck came to him, but it just, like, went through his stick and his leg.
That's what I'm talking about. He couldn't, like, put the puck in the ocean.
Which is a shame, because he, in junior, he was very offensive, and he scored 20 goals that first year. And so you were like, oh, here's a guy who works hard, but also, when he gets a chance, can put the puck in the net. But it's just, it's nowhere around him right now. Like, he just has no chances whatsoever.
It hasn't been all year. Like I was saying, like, I'm thinking tonight because I'm trying to pick, like, who's my bum? Okay, well, pretty much I thought Connor Brown hasn't played well in a while. So he was high. He was, like, kind of next up. So before we got on tonight, I was like, well, when was the last time I thought he played well? And the answer this season has been never. I don't think he's had one really good game where he stood out. Sure, he's had games where he's been okay, but I don't think he's had one game where he stood out at all.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I guess the good thing about that is he's only making $2.5 million a year. I'm big on the salary cap, and a guy who makes that type of money can afford to have a little slump like this. I don't think he'll be this bad all year. I do have some faith in him still, but so far he just looks like a step behind offensively. In the neutral zone, just everywhere. He has been a bum.
Looks like a stiff.
Well, if you want to talk about guys who cannot put the puck in the ocean.
Oh, here we go. Here
don't
we go.
Even have, like, even a compass can point his shots towards the net. Like, he is just Stone Hands McGee.
I don't even know who you're talking about, and I'm already laughing.
Frederick Gauthier. Freddy the Goat.
Poor Freddy the Goat. I don't think he's been horrible.
But, like, he is just so up and down the... You want to talk about up and down the ice?
Yeah, and yeah.
The reason why he bothers me so much is because he's one of those guys who's 6'5", who might as well be 5'7". Like, it just drives me nuts. And that's why I harp on him more. Like, God, they've had guys in the past like Dominic Moore. And let's not, like, yeah, they traded for Brian Boyle that one time at the deadline. But, like, Brian Boyle wasn't anything special. Like, he was just a good guy. But Frederick Gauthier, like, they're so thin at the center position past their top guys. Like, they're, and it's hard to ask. Like, not every NHL franchise and depth chart is perfectly set up, but it's just this guy, if he doesn't start chipping in somewhat offensively, like, he's just, you want, this guy doesn't even get shots. Like, at least Connor Brown, at least he gets a chance and he just misses it or flubs it. Like, Frederick Gauthier, I can't remember the last time this guy had like a serious chance at the net. Like, it he could not find the net at all.
Do you think Babs is just trying to turn him into what's his role in Babcock's mind? Like, when Babs puts him over the boards, what's he thinking?
In Babcock's mind, what he is looking at all the time at Frederick Gauthier is, you're 6'5". Other than that, I can't see anything that he does on the ice that is like, I want to keep this guy out there, other than their lack of center depth. But I just feel like he enjoys having a guy at his height on the ice, because it kind of goes back to the team toughness thing we were talking about earlier. But the only problem, and the why he's a bum, is he would be so much more useful if he actually used his body. And yeah, he's not that type of player. People might say that, but it's like, he has to be at that size, or else there's no use because he can't do anything else.
What you said is absolutely bang on. He plays like he's 5'7".
Yeah, he's brutal, and like I haven't really seen. Yeah, he skates well on the ice. He's not slow for a big guy.
Was he a Berkey? He was a Berkey draft pick, wasn't he?
I think he might have been a Nonis draft pick, to be honest with you. I'm not 100% sure, but there was guys who went ahead, or guys who went behind him. I don't have them. I don't have their names in front of me, but I know for a fact there's guys who went behind them who are all serviceable, good hockey players in the league and can have a role on a good team. This guy just he doesn't do anything. Like, it just bothers me.
Poor Freddie. The guy just can't catch a break. Poor Freddie.
I know. I just ragged on him. I always feel bad ragging on the Leafs because we're fans and I want to see them do well.
He definitely struggles.
Like, it's a fourth line, and like, I'm always the guy who's like, let's not get too worked up over the fourth line. But I don't want to harp on any of the big guys this week. I thought they all put in a decent effort against Winnipeg, but like, I just watched Frederick Gauthier on the ice, and like, the best thing he can do is keep the puck in the offensive zone for a little bit. But other than that, it's nothing else.
Well, we were talking earlier about how they lack grit and toughness. And so, yeah, it's frustrating to see a guy with his size play the way he does. Just no edge to his game whatsoever.
Yeah, and I think if you're a Leaf fan right now trying to come up with arguments of why you like Frederick Gauthier or what he does, like, I think you're just kind of reaching a little bit.
All right. My beauty of the week, easy peasy, going to keep this short and sweet. Nazem Kadri gets the monkey off his back. This time last week, we were talking about how he hasn't scored yet. He's got to figure it out. What's he going to do? Now, a week later, he's got 3 goals, 3-3. He seems like, if you know Naz, you know, in the back of his mind, he's looking at Matthews being out as a chance for him to get some more ice time and play a more prominent role and pad his stats a little bit. So, hat tip to Naz. Good for you. Got the monkey off his back. 3 goals already. Nazem Kadri, you're my beauty of the week.
Oh, well, that's a respectable pick, and it's happy to see Naz. And Naz is mine. The guy thinks he can get 50.
Yep.
You know, deep in his mind, there's some part of him that still believes he could be a 50-goal scorer.
That's what you love about him, though. That's his best asset.
That's what I was going to say. That's what you love about him. He just has this confidence. But he plays a role, though. He's not a selfish player, so that's why you love him.
My beauty of the week, Ryan.
I think he's been picked already, but I'm going to go with Kasperi Kapanen as my beauty of the week.
There you go. I don't disagree. I have been the Kasperi Kapanen flag waver since episode 1 of Talking Buds.
Yeah, and now the landscape has changed a little bit with Matthews being injured, and he's going to have to go around the lineup. But I think with Matthews in the lineup and watching those two Winnipeg games, like, At first, we were kind of like joking, or I'm looking at this from a fan's perspective, by the way, but at first we were kind of joking about him and Willie being best friends and, oh, he's taking a spot. Isn't that cute? Best buddies, whatever. Well, Willie, yeah. But I actually bought into it watching those two Winnipeg games because this guy is so dynamic when he was on that line. And I hope he keeps it up with the other guys because he's just such a spark and he can put the puck in the net.
He's also like one of the fastest guys on the team.
Willie Nylander can put the puck in the net, but Willie Nylander can't like jolt a line like Kapanen does when he's on one of those shifts. And he has tons of scoring ability, is a hard shot. He's so fast. So I kind of started buying into the whole, you know what, maybe in their mind, they're like, he's somewhat, he, this guy is replacing him in some sort of way, even though I know they're still trying to get the deal done. By the way, the deal's not done. I had people on me being like, oh, well, it sounds like he's going to sign. Guess what? He hasn't signed yet.
Nope.
And there's hasn't been any rumblings really since then. So,
and to reiterate, neither one of us thinks that Matthews being hurt is going to expedite that process at all.
No, I don't believe that at all. I don't believe management works like that. But Kasperi Kapanen, you're my beauty of the week just because you've been everything and more that we've expected so far in the first month of the season. And that's just what we want to see. And it's exciting.
I like the combo of him and Hyman. When I saw that that was the line, I was kind of like, eh, they're kind of the same guy on one line. That line is fast, man. Like, the Kasperi Kapanen adds a speed up. Because, like, we all love Johnny T. Johnny T, he's gotten a bit older, slowed down a little bit, and he's become more of, like, a methodical type player. Kapanen is first in on the forecheck every time. That's why I love him. That's why I told you, I've been Kasperi Kapanen guy since day one.
Yeah, him and Hyman together, it's a really fast line, and Zach Hyman, honestly, I thought he played his ass off against the Winnipeg Jets, both those games tonight. He was a little, he's always working hard, but the offense doesn't come too easily for him. Like, I made a joke that he didn't even know he hit the side of the net and he doesn't even know when he scores because it happens so rarely. Which is like
his
selly
was hilarious. He did the fist pump and the hell yeah. He was like, well, I just tied this game up. And it's like, no, sorry, buddy.
But like Zach Hyman, though, the guy works hard. And I've seen Zach Hyman score nice goals in the NHL before. I recall last year a couple shorthanded breakaways he put it in. But he works hard, he works hard, he works hard. But sometimes he's just missing a little touch in front of the net.
Yeah. All right, anything else you want to touch on before we do totally unqualified takes or tut?
Oh,
what do we think about what do we think about tut?
Yeah, I don't know about tut.
Yeah,
buddy.
Okay. We'll leave. We won't use tut again.
No, it's not the best. But I guess just a look ahead. Dallas again. Dallas is a wild card team to me. They don't have great D. Very offensive, so they can either come out, score a bunch of goals, or give up a bunch of goals. I feel like the Leafs, that's a good team for the Leafs to play to get out of a little scoring drought because it's not always a Picasso with Dallas's D. And Pittsburgh's a worry because Pittsburgh just went on a tour of Canada and absolutely dummied every single team. Just
they look like they've returned to the cup contender. Not that they weren't last year, they totally were, but they look like they've returned to the cup contender. Cup contender status that they've been the last few years.
Yeah, and Sid didn't have a goal, and now he has 5 after that trip, and Malkin's up there in points. I think he's got 18 points, and Phil's kind of doing his thing, too. Phil Kessel always sneaks up on you in that points race. He always has his over 80 every single year, so that's going to be a tough game in Pittsburgh, but at least they're on the road, and they seem to play better on the road, but I'm not really excited for that one. I feel like that could be trouble. But yeah, you just never know.
Well, honestly, you said it. The fact that they're on the road. Like, for I feel better about this team when they're on the road. They just seem like they seem more comfortable on the road.
Yeah,
they travel so well. There's always a contingent of Leaf fans in every building across the league.
Yeah, and it just, well, you know what? Hopefully just the scoring rounds up and we don't get another effort like we did tonight. I don't know if it was just effort or just wasn't their night. Sometimes you're just flat, but they were flat for three periods. Well, they were flat for 55 minutes, and then the last 5 minutes they decided to wake up. But we need to turn around. We need guys to step up. We need the depth scoring. Guys like Connor Brown, our bums, Connor Brown, Frederick Gauthier, they gotta step up. That's why they're our bums. And if you don't want to be a bum next week, then
you gotta
put
step
the puck
up.
In the net. Or
yeah, you gotta
contribute
step up.
Offensively. How about that?
Yeah. Stop skating around out there doing nothing.
Yeah, they're just doing their best all over the ice. That's all they're doing. Just doing their best. But you know what that is? Yeah. It's nothing. It's just
floating around in the middle of the ice, waving their sticks at people.
Just working hard on the perimeter, just not contributing anything. So this is just step up time for the Leafs. It's time to see what we got. Andreas Johnsson, what do you got? Levo, what do you got? Tyler Ennis, what do you got? Like
Patrick, Par Lindholm.
Yeah, Par Lindholm. Patrick Marleau, what do you got? Yep. Like you haven't done anything.
No, he hasn't done anything. He really hasn't done anything. He's and like for the amount of money he's getting paid, like his contract is causing cap problems, and so he better step it up. I have a feeling that come playoff time, he'll elevate his game because veteran players tend to do that. But yeah, I agree. He's done nothing.
Yeah, and it's you can be like, oh, it's still early in the season, and hopefully they can just kind of keep up this current record they have. Like, you want to stay in that top three in your, like, not just in your division, but in your conference. You want to be up there. You want to keep pace. Like, they can't have a little stretch here where they lose a couple and fall behind. Like, I just don't want to see that out of them. Like, I just want to see them continue to push to be at the top, but it's going to take more than just two lines to do that, because I feel like those two lines are going to they're gonna have a hard time finding some. It looks like they weren't like in sync tonight. Like Marner made some good plays, but I think it's gonna take every single forward they have to chip in offensively.
It's time for totally unqualified takes.
Tut.
It's time for Talking Buds. Totally unqualified takes.
All right, I went first on Beauty and Bums, so that means you're going to go first on totally unqualified takes.
Okay, my totally unqualified take, and I don't know if we're just doing... Is this like... I know we shouldn't know this because it's our own show, but is it like a weekly unqualified take, or can I do like...
No, you can piggyback off last week's. We gave the Nylander thing last week a two-week buffer, so that one's still... I said within the next 2 weeks. And then you had a week, but you changed it to line up with mine.
Because I want to make like an aggressive hot take that's like a one that's going to span the whole year.
All right.
But I feel someone's got to keep track of this kind of stuff, or else maybe we'll just forget about it.
Make a note of it and bring it up in the show next week.
So maybe instead of doing the whole year, I'll do like half a season.
Okay.
Because a whole year, because I'll probably want to change my mind at some point.
Just write it down on a little sticky note so you don't forget it.
All right. Well, here's my quote. Totally, totally unqualified take that halfway through the season at the 42 game mark, I know half a season's random, but this isn't a totally unqualified take, so it fits the segment perfectly. But halfway through the season, Frederik Andersen will be in the Vezina conversation after 42 games.
I like that. That's a positive take.
I know it's
he's playing like it.
It's early, and we know Frederik Andersen is streaky, but he's another guy where we know what I'm most happy about with Frederik Andersen as a Maple Leaf, and no one really talks about it, is his health. I've been extremely impressed with his durability as a Maple Leaf.
Ryan, knock on wood right now. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm knocking on wood right now, but I you can't control injuries. They're going to happen. I'm just talking about the past couple of years. I'm not saying going forward. Anything could happen going forward, but you look at the time he's put in with the Leafs, though, he's been relatively healthy. And if you look at his numbers past October, like you watch the broadcast, they pull up the numbers, these ridiculous stats that someone keeps track of, and it's always his numbers past October. And yep. They're awful. They're terrible. I mean, they're always great numbers after October. Like, they're always phenomenal. And he's had a good October so far, really respectable October. And I feel like that he could keep this up. He looks extremely mobile and confident and just...
He's looked good in every start except the Ottawa game.
Yeah, he was bad against Ottawa. And then there was one game where they just gave up a shit. Like, see, St. Louis. This was a St. Louis game. Like, there was a couple short side goals in that game, but they were horrible that game. Like, Calgary could have easily had a couple more goals than they did tonight. He made a couple huge stops in the first period.
Oh, he sure did. And in the second, too.
Yeah, and he could be a key. He's another key that we haven't really mentioned. And with Matthews being out, he could be a difference maker.
My totally unqualified take. It's a two-parter. So... And this is also going to span probably the whole season. So write this down on your sticky note as well. Austin Matthews will miss more than 4 weeks. But when he does come back, he plays like a man possessed. And at the end of the season is still in the Hart Trophy conversation.
Oh, my. Wow. That is... reaching.
that's why it's called unqualified.
That is so unqualified and reachy. I don't know. That's
okay. Okay, here, let me
spoken like a true Leaf fan.
Yeah. I think he could return and play. He was like shot out of a cannon when he came back from his injury last year. I think he knows what's at stake, missing time. We've seen when he's really focused what he can do. And I think that when he comes back, he's just going to be a man possessed. And be in the... Is he going to win it? Probably not. But at the end of the year, will he be in the conversation as the MVP of the league? Yes.
Yeah, like he doesn't necessarily need to be like voted as a top three.
Like, no.
Actual
no,
like voting.
I didn't say win it.
Yeah, I know.
It.
I just mean
I
like
said
conversation.
Be in the conversation.
Yeah, the conversation as you're watching a sports network and they're talking about how he's in the conversation type of
yes.
conversation.
And the whole thing is like, well, you know, he had the injury earlier in the season and since he's come back, he's
yeah,
been
no,
on another level.
It's a very realistic storyline. I just personally don't see it. I feel like the shoulder... Also, it's just like not a great body part to like injure. Like it's a very awkward injury and I don't know how it's going to affect his game because I think they're going to be extremely cautious with him because
I don't want to talk about it. That's what I'm saying. He could potentially miss more than 4 weeks. I don't want to talk about it again. It just depresses me because, yeah, the last thing you want is for it to be a chronic situation and he's just in pain or it's yeah, I just oh, God. Bums me out so much,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah,
bums me out so much.
But you're saying when he comes back, though, he's going to make it up to you with his performance.
Well, based on what we saw last year, he came, like I said, he was shot out of a cannon when he came back from his injury last year. I think he knows what's at stake. This is a contract year for him. He knows the criticism he took with how he didn't play that well against Boston in the postseason last year. So I'm looking for him to return. And like I said, I didn't say he's going to win it, but I'm saying he will be in the conversation.
Well, that is a serious, I'll hold you. I won't forget that one, buddy. I don't even need to write that one down.
Yeah. Well, that's why they're called totally unqualified takes. Cause you just throw something ridiculous out there.
Yeah. You just boiled up a serious hot take. Like that was the hot take of hot takes.
I told you I've been playing it for the first few weeks on this. I played it safe and it was kind of boring. So let's throw it out there and say something crazy like a true diehard Leaf fan.
Like almost like a put yourself on a diehard Leaf fan body and just come up with the most optimistic Leaf take or negative Leaf take you can think of.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that one, but I was saying Frederik Andersen might be horrible in a month, so I might look like the biggest idiot of all, but I think
Nylander might get signed tomorrow, and then we're both wrong on last week's.
Well, you said he would.
Well, no,
get
I'd be
signed.
Right. I said within the next 2 weeks. That's
yeah,
right.
I said not 2 weeks, but then I doubled down and said won't at all, I think. So yeah. I'm going to be held to that one, but... Man, that's the only bigger hot take you could come up with is Babcock... getting fired after this season if they don't do well. I think that's the only bigger hot take.
Which is never going to happen.
No, that's why it's just ridiculous. And I wouldn't even say that, even for this segment.
All right, Ryan, I think that'll wrap it up for this week. I feel like we'll be back next week, next Tuesday night after the Vegas game. And we'll break that one down and talk about Dallas and Pittsburgh as well. Once again, just want to say thanks to everybody for downloading the show. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Hi, I'm Emily Roger, and I host a leadership show called The Boiling Point with my co-host, Dave Vail. Together, we sit down with trailblazing entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and movement makers who are driving meaningful change in our world. The show is all about exploring the lives and perspectives of leaders who are making a difference. Join us for insightful conversations that challenge the status quo, spark new ideas, and inspire you to take action. Find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or at BoilingPointPodcast.com.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.